It's a beautiful morning.
Well, you certainly know what that theme song means by now. It's another episode of Health Matters brought to you by Forsyth Cancer Care Center right here in Reno, Nevada, 521 Hamel Lane. That's 521 Hamel Lane. And I want you to write this phone number down. It's so important because you can call them, make an appointment for anybody, friend, associate, or family member who's been diagnosed with cancer. That number is area code 775-827-0707. Again, 775-827-0707. Forsyth Cancer Care Center. Today's topics, by the way, are going to be so interesting. Full dose chemo. Why is full dose chemotherapy totally unnecessary in this good doctor's opinion? And then we'll get to topic number two, which will be update on brain cancer. So if you want to text in a question, that number is 775-384-4444. And I know so many of you loved Grace that came on right before Health Matters with Earlene Forsyth, number one talk show when it comes to Bible study in the world. And also, you heard the beautiful song that she wrote. And I want you to know that right now, text 775-384-4444 if you'd like a copy. And now, let's go to the host of the show, Earlene Forsyth.
Well, hey, that was a great introduction.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, always.
Holy moly. I'll take you everywhere.
Oh, good. Okay. Take me to dinner tonight.
You're on.
Sure. You can come with us.
Okay.
Yeah. We're not going to eat until about 8.
That's 2 hours after I'm asleep.
It's bean soup, too.
That's right. I love it.
Okay. So we're talking about why is full dose chemotherapy unnecessary. And the audience wants to know why this topic. And do you have any proof of this statement?
Well, I hope to give some today to our audience. And if my topic is correct, think of the billions, I'm talking about billions of tax dollars and government dollars could be saved if we could use low-dose insulin-potentiated chemotherapy, or IPT, for every patient. We're talking now about adults because I know it won't happen in children without a big fight. But it will happen in adults, and my studies prove that it is effective. But think of the not only the money saved, but the damage done to many people who have cancer, who undergo literally masses of adverse reactions, damage to their body organs, cytopenias, neuropathies, chemo brain, hair loss, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea. We'll talk a little bit about all those. But think of all the sparing of those horrible symptoms could occur if my postulates are right on this. So let's start by saying that in last month, in March of 22, in a large medical meeting that was originated from Las Vegas, and it was for the doctors of osteopathy. It was called the Annual Osteopathy Meeting of Medical Excellence. I was a featured speaker at the meeting, and I reported a 10-year, that's 10 years, from March of 12 to March of 22, worked out nicely, with 2,000 patients called outcome investigation using upfront genomic testing. That means gene testing on every patient I saw, followed by low-dose homeopathic designated chemotherapy with insulin to produce survival results that turned out to be 30 times greater than the reports that have been reported in the conventional oncology literature, which only tested a 5-year survival rate, not a 10-year survival rate, that were done in the United States, and a comparable study that was done in Australia with same drugs and a same outfit, which was 2.1% in the United States, or 2 in 100, and 2.3% in Australia. So basically comparable statistics, but only 2 survivors out of 100 after 5 years of chemotherapy for stage 4 cancers. So this, my study, I feel, was heroic because my results were 68% of all cancers, 68%, that's more than 30 times greater than the studies in these two countries. The only difference was mine was a prospective study instead of a retrospective study, and I'll explain what I mean by that. It just means I don't have 2,000 patients sitting at my front door when the study begins. Every week and every month we add more, and that's how we attained 10 years of 2,000 patients.
Well, that's a good study, especially if that full-dose toxic chemotherapy should be stopped in favor of your IPT light protocol.
It would make a horrendous difference to all the poor patients who literally get a death sentence. When you have stage 4 cancer, Arlene and Eddie, it's basic like the judge says you're going to die in the gas chamber or by hanging. It's a death sentence, and you have to live with that until you either are cured or you die.
Okay. Well, are you through answering that question?
I think I am.
Well, good job. That was short and sweet.
A great job, as a matter of fact. I'm going to real quick go to Brian Christie, Willits, California. And Brian Christie writes in and says, thank you for telling me to listen to Health Matters. I'm going to call Forsyth Cancer Care Center this afternoon. I have never felt worse in my life after my first chemotherapy treatment
here in Wilson.
100%?
Huh?
Had 100% chemo?
I hear that all the time, believe it or not, from patients who have experienced one or two cycles of full-dose chemo,
right,
and they start having all of the massive toxic side effects.
Amen.
So thank you so much for that call.
That's right.
Yeah.
Brian Christie, Willits, California. The number to call, Brian, again, 775-827-0707, and now back to Arlene.
Yeah, a lot of side effects from that 100% chemo.
Amen.
I mean, you get brain problems and heart problems and neural problems, and I could make the list go further and further and further. Okay, I'm going to get to your question, Dr. Forsyth. All right?
All right.
We're going to get through all this.
Oh, my gosh.
You got to calm down a little bit.
Oh, I'm so excited about telling this story.
You're excited about
I feel
about
like Paul Revere
down?
Riding through town. The British are
well,
coming.
Eddie has the horses.
The British are coming.
The British are coming.
The low-dose chemotherapy is coming.
That's right.
Okay, we hope so. We pray for it. Walk our audience through a new patient. Oh, no, that's not the right question. Well, where am I?
Number two.
Oh, where is it? I don't have it. I already did it. I already asked you.
No.
Okay, I'll ask
no,
you again.
It's not.
I'll ask you again. Did your results show that full-dose toxic chemotherapy should be stopped in favor of your IPT? Light protocol.
Yeah, let me elaborate. It is kind of part of the first question, but here we go. Here are the short and long-term conclusions of this historical study. The side effects and adverse consequences of conventional full-dose chemotherapy, and I know what I'm talking about, folks, because from the early 70s until the mid-90s, I was a guy that did full-dose chemo and only jumped the fence when I became a homeopathic physician in the mid-90s, around 96, in fact. So here's what we used to experience with our full-dose treatments. Nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, skin rashes, chemo brain, which means a decrease in cognitive function, neuropathies, which means numbness of the hands and feet. And if you're in this culture, as you guys know, if you can't use your computer, your iPad, or iPhone because of numb fingers, or you can't find the gas pedal on your car when you're on the freeway, you're in trouble in all ways. Cytopenias, with full dose chemo, you have falling of your white count, red count, and platelet counts. And that means you're going to have infections and bleeding. Hair loss, we talked about. Vascular infusion injuries. When you're doing full dose chemo, you're giving 90% more than with IPT. And if the vein ruptures while the needle's in it, you're going to have a bad injury to the vein and possibly a cellulitis and thrombosis in the vein.
Wow.
Who needs that? And then heart, lung, and liver damage and bone marrow suppression. And ultimately, death can occur with just one cycle of chemotherapy, death. So I'm not blowing smoke at you. It can occur. It has never occurred, thank God, and I'll knock on wood for that, in our own clinic with low-dose insulin potentiated therapy. Patients have never had to go to the hospital because of our treatments. The cost saving to the individual patient, to Medicaid and Medicare and personal insurance, greater than 90% of the dollar would be saved.
Wow.
Good job.
Great job.
Can I go on now?
Yeah, maybe a couple more things that the hospitalizations that occur in your patients when they have life-threatening bleeding or sepsis would be reduced by 90%. So keep that in mind, too, because a week in the hospital treating sepsis could cost the patient another $50,000 to $100,000, depending on how much insurance paid for.
Oh, can I go on?
Yeah.
You gave me that little finger. Okay. All right, I want to go forward. Okay, walk our audience through a new patient visit with a diagnosis of stage 4 adult cancer. Is that any cancer?
Yeah, any. We're talking about all adult cancers now. I'm generalizing. So as an adult medical oncologist with a background as a U.S. Army certified pathologist for many years, and a graduate of a top 10 medical school, UCSF, graduated number 19 out of 120 students, I have extensive background in hematology, oncology, anatomic pathology, clinical oncology, and I've had a military experience in the Army, my time in the Army, in tropical medicine, blood banking, and forensic pathology. And I have also been an associate professor of medicine at UNR School of Medicine. And I currently, as you know by this radio show, am host with my lovely wife, Erlene, of Health Matters, and she is host of Grace. So we have a lot of experience in getting the word out and teaching. And in our practice, we see patients from every state in the United States has been represented in our office. We also see patients from Canada, Mexico, South America, Central America, Australia, Taiwan, Hong Kong, and even China, believe it or not, have come to our offices. Now, the patients from Australia, from Perth, Australia, on the western side of Australia, actually made a 17-hour trip to get there with his wife, who was stricken with cancer. And when he got here, his dad was injured in an auto accident, so they had to fly back and forth and back and forth. Would you go to see a doctor and do all that? I don't know if I could bring myself to do that, but I was humbled by the fact that they did that.
Well, you hate to fly.
And 95% of our new patients, either in person or through Zoom, telemedicine, have already had a surgical biopsy. So our liquid biopsies, which means taking the blood instead of using a needle or a biopsy procedure, have a liquid biopsy. Liquid biopsies are only for those who have not had a biopsy, which is a small number of our patients. So blood is drawn in our clinic, just so you know what our procedures are, on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, usually before 3 p.m., sent to the Greek lab, and we've used all three of the best labs in the world, the one in South Korea, the Good Gene Lab, the one in Germany, the BioFocus lab, and they didn't match up to the Greek lab. So just remember, take it to the Greeks. They issue, after about 2 weeks, a 24-page, highly scientific report, and the first words out of the patient's mouth, when I talk to them about the report, it's all Greek to me. And that happens in about 90% of the cases. And it's true. It's very highly scientific, and it does get really into the weeds of genetics. But it does teach us a whole bunch of things that is unknown to the patient at the time. So I'll go on with the...
Oh, well, thank you. You're so kind to let me talk.
Okay. This is my show. You had your chance. She did write,
that.
Folks. You she know, did write a beautiful
song.
But
the thing about it is, okay, the thing about it is, you wouldn't do any good if I wasn't here.
That's true.
So, okay?
Well, I've admitted that.
So, we already tested that.
Behind.
All right, dear. All right.
Okay. When I didn't host your show,
kudos
guess what?
To you.
Guess what happened?
You deserve it.
What happened, Eddie?
They fell off the roof. The
ratings went
hey,
down.
By the way, I want to share with you, this is wonderful because he's already called and left a message.
Yes.
And we're talking about Brian Christie in Willits, California, who also said, do you ever play, and I love this, do you ever play Earlene's song? I found it very helpful to me personally, even though I'm suffering. Brian, I've got news for you. Yes. They do play.
Yes, yes, we play it to our patients, Brian. And they've told me that it has a healing effect when you listen to it. And just normal people who aren't even sick feel that same feeling. It does something to their hormones and their inner feelings that sometimes brings them to cry.
Wow.
Jim, well, that's what you did.
Yes.
So did I.
I got teary-eyed.
By the way, so did I. So did Shanimal behind the...
Shanimal,
yes, I did. I had to blow my nose and wipe the tears away.
That's right.
That's amazing.
He was smitten.
That song
is
amazing.
We call it smitten, Shanimal.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Let's see. What information are you looking for in your reports?
So the report from Greece gives the following information, and it's very important in the treatment of any patient. Unfortunately, our conventional colleagues know about it, but will have nothing to do with it. So very, very slow to learn. They're more interested in Betty Crocker medicine, where one size fits all. So we learn the best chemotherapy agents, and over 70 are tested, and some are old. They're older drugs, but they're the big guns. We call them the big guns because they hit the cancer the hardest. The best targeted agents, which include the monoclonal antibodies and the small molecular weight drugs, and the hormone blockers. If it's a hormone-driven tumor, like breast cancer, ovarian cancer, uterine cancer, cervical cancer, estrogen blockers will pop up. If it's a man with prostate cancer, then testosterone blockers will come up. So those are all important findings. And then we'll get a circulating tumor cell or circulating stem cell number. They're both synonymous. And that just means we get a quantitative number of the number of cells running through their venous blood when the test is done. And if you're under 5 cells per cc, that's usually a good prognostic sign. If you're over, that means you need treatment ASAP.
Wow.
And the last thing we get are the best supplements, and that includes vitamins, minerals, herbs, algae products, mushrooms, even some big pharma agents. And there are over 75 of that, including letting the patient himself or herself pick out 5 that she likes best or he likes best that they've heard will work for them. And also, if you have a cup cancer, that means a cancer of unknown primary, CUP, cancer of unknown primary, where you have metastases but you don't know where the primary was, the drugs that come up will give you the clues to where the drug came from. Because certain drugs come up for certain cancers and certain blockers come up for cancers that gives you a hint as to where it came from.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely.
You really great. Got into that, especially the big guns.
Yeah, the big guns.
When I think of big guns, I think of Clint Eastwood, John Wayne.
I love you. I love you. That's absolutely great.
Okay. Well, the Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
What else does your clinic offer new patients?
All right, we offer extensive dietary counseling. We have one of the best nutritionists in the country, I feel, Dr. Majid Majid, who was a cardiologist trained in Russia. I trained him as an oncologist, and he acts as an advanced practitioner of homeopathy with a master in nutrition. He will go through the Mediterranean, the Paleo, the Keto, the South Beach, the Budwig diet, and the Gershon diet, as well as the high-low diets, and everything else. So he will go, and really there is no one diet for every patient, and we do have a book I wrote called The Forsyth Anti-Cancer Diet for you as well. We also do pH balancing, because the body, when it's alkaline, can fight cancer best. And we go through detox therapies as well for patients.
Okay, what is your mop-up operation?
Mop-up. I'm a military guy.
And I'm not going to do it for you, okay?
It's a retired full colonel. So mop-up is when the troops go in, they clean out the bad guys, and then the special mop-up crew comes in and makes sure the job is well done. So after a three-week course of therapy, we give you a drug that is high on the list of effective drugs based on your genes, the patient's genes themselves. And that is given, or if there are no good oral drugs to take home with, then we can bring them back once a month for more IPT, one day a month for 3 months. And all those things help prevent a recurrence or a relapse of the cancer.
Wow. Listeners, I want you to know that we're going to take only one break during Health Matters. We're about to take that break right now, momentarily, but get involved with us. Write this phone number down. It's area code 775-827-0707. Again, 775-827-0707. And yes, we will be right back.
Have you, a friend, or family member been diagnosed with cancer? Dr. Forsyth at the Forsyth Cancer Care Center offers an all-inclusive program to treat adult types of cancer. The Forsyth Immune Protocol Cancer Treatment Plan, in a current prospective study of over 6.5 years and 1,200 adult cancer patients, has produced a remarkable 30 times greater survival statistic when compared to conventional full-dose chemotherapy. Greater than 95% of all their patients choose low-dose insulin-potentiated life chemotherapy. Therapy, using only 10 to 15% chemotherapy dosing with insulin. Dr. Forsyth has long been considered one of the most respected physicians in the United States, particularly for his treatment of cancer and the legal use of human growth hormone. Located in Reno, Nevada, Dr. Forsyth has seen patients from all over the world. To schedule your consultation today, call 775-827-0707. That number again is 775-827-0707.
At A Proper Fit Footwear in the Reno Town Mall, we've been accomplishing happy feet for over 30 years.
We offer a various range of shoe styles and sizes for both men and women. From all-season shoes and orthotics to work boots and safety shoes, our professional and reliable staff possesses the knowledge to help you find the proper shoes to fit your needs. Hard to fit? Hard to find?
A Proper Fit Footwear is here to give our customers happy feet. We make people aware of potential foot problems as we're sizing their feet, suggesting the right arch support, and guiding them to the proper shoes for their needs.
Stop by A Proper Fit Footwear at 4001 South Virginia Street in the Reno Town Mall today and allow the owner Mike Jones and our fabulous staff to find the perfect pair of shoes tailored to your specific needs.
A Proper Fit Footwear in the Reno Town Mall, the home of Happy Feet, where comfort and your feet meet.
Destination Midtown. Experience the difference. Reno's premier shopping extravaganza. Everything imaginable and more. Midtown matters. Get down to Midtown.
Beefy's, the best little diner in the biggest little city. Cheeseburgers extraordinaire, chili cheese omelets, and the best milkshakes in Midtown and Reno. Beefy's. Try the full Beefy's menu and beer on tap. Beefy's, South Virginia at Arroyo.
Midtown Reno. Experience the difference. Get down to Midtown. Midtown matters.
Charbecue the Butcher's Kitchen would like to thank every customer for your loyalty and continued support through these challenging times. Call for takeout and delivery of rib tips, brisket, ahi tuna, roasted veggies, and much more. Charbecue's open from 11 to 7, Monday through Saturday, and delivers hot food safe and healthy. Call 499-5855 for details. 499-5855 Charbecue, as featured on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Get real. Get into Charbecue Reno.
This is America Matters Media on AM 1180 KCKQ.
A Lotus broadcast station.
The power of radio since 1967.
We're back now with the second half of Health Matters, and now we're going to go for an update on brain cancer.
No, we're not.
Oh, we're not? We still have more questions?
Well, retrospective study.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I did have another item I want to bring
wonderful
to the
thank
attention.
You, Arlene.
Oh, yeah, you know what, anytime.
The difference between a retrospective and prospective study needs to be told, because I'm not hiding anything. By the conventional study that was done was retrospective. That simply means that the inspectors went to many hospitals, pulled charts of patients who were either alive or dead, who'd been on chemotherapy for at least 5 years, 5 years only, and to basically just see if they were alive or dead after that experience. So that's called a retrospective study. A prospective study is done where you get 3 to 5, 7 patients a week, new, and you might get 30 or more a month, and you build up your population that way, because a single practitioner, it's impossible for me, with HIPAA rules and everything, to go to hospitals and look through all their medical records. I have no authority to do that kind of thing. And in order to get a study of survival, it has to be a prospective study like the one I just reported on. So just to clarify that. Thank you both for the...
Thank you, Arlene.
Oh, no. Thank Jim.
Thank you, Dr.
He's
James
the one
W.
with the brains.
That's right.
And thank you all.
We just sit here smiling.
We just sit here smiling and laughing. You know, I love it.
Okay. Okay, now the second topic, you're going to do an update on brain and spinal cord cancers?
Yes, it's a subject that is rarely mentioned. It's kind of a closet subject, because the idea of having a friend or relative, parent, grandparent with brain cancer is so abhorrent to most people that they don't even want to talk about it. But there's it's coming along, but I think there have been fewer important changes or advances in treating brain cancers versus almost every other cancer. So the general public, just generally, I'm trying to give a general picture of it and some of the highlights of it. So, one thing, Arlene, we're not able to do genetic testing on brain or spinal cancers, and the reason being is because there is a blood-brain barrier which keeps the stem cells or the circulating tumor cells in the brain cancer from getting out of the cerebral spinal fluid and getting into the systemic circulation. It's called the blood-brain barrier, and that barrier also prevents chemotherapy, lots of chemotherapy, from ever getting into the brain. So the brain has that protection, and as you know, the brain is cleaned by the pineal gland and the melanoma that's secreted during times when we're asleep. The melatonin does its work and cleans out the spinal fluid. So it's the basic cleaner there. But it does put us at a disadvantage who are treating brain cancers. It doesn't hurt the surgeon. it doesn't hurt the radiation therapy because they will do their thing anyway. But if you have a recurrence of a brain tumor after radiation and surgery, then you have to go to chemotherapy as a rule because the brain can only take so much radiation, and multiple surgeries on the brain just don't work. So we're faced with treating a patient then with low-dose chemo or fractionated chemo using standard protocols that are full-dose protocols, but we use it in the homeopathic dosing with insulin to limit, not only limit the toxicity, but also to get a better result. And we do have brain cancers that I have treated that are over 30 years old and 10, 15 years old, a number of them that have survived the treatment with me alone without the use of further surgery or radiation therapy after they have relapsed and represented themselves. And so also when brain cancers, because they're locked into the brain cavity and the cerebrospinal fluid, do not metastasize to systemic organs like the lungs, like the bones, like the liver, or any place else in the body. They do not cause pleural effusions or acidic fluid, malignant acidic fluid. So it's quite a challenge to treat brain cancers, and that's that. So we'll go on with any further questions.
Yeah, I do remember one of your patients that had brain tumor, and he did last for quite a while, and he helped us do our nonprofit.
Yes, a young lawyer. Erlene is talking about a young lawyer in his late 30s, had an anaplastic astrocytoma. He had had surgical excision and had had radiation therapy and then recurred in the brain, in the frontal lobes primarily, slightly in the temporal lobes. And we treated him for many years. He's the lawyer that actually was able to form our 501c3 grant proposal for patients so that they had money to pay for alternative therapy. Because as the audience probably knows, Medicare, Medicaid, and private insurances rarely pay for integrative oncology procedures.
Yeah, and we give them a scholarship anywhere from, I don't know, 500 to 5,000.
Wow. Yeah. That's so nice.
We've given over.
Yes, and we get money from many of our patients for the scholarship money, and we do that allows them to do things they couldn't do otherwise.
Yes, okay. If you cannot do genetic testing for this group of patients, what treatment is available for them?
That's a good question. I appreciate that from the audience. So the drugs that actually can get through the blood-brain barrier, and these names I don't think will mean a lot to our audience, but I'm going to say them anywhere because they're not that many of them. And they're, for the most part, they're older chemotherapy agents and not the newer monoclonal antibodies or small molecular weight compounds that have been around for 20 or 30 years only, whereas the chemo goes way back to the 50s. So here they are. Dacarbazine, also called DTIC, has two names. BCNU, not to be confused with BCNU. CCNU, cis-chloronitrosourea. There it goes, guys. If you wanted to know it, there it was.
Wow.
Timodar or timazoladine. Procarbazine, also known as PCZ. It's a derivative of jet fuel, believe it or not. It does work on brain tumors and Hodgkin's disease. Those are the two main tumors that treats. And CPT-11 has three names. Camptozar, Aridatecan, and CPT-11. So there you go. And these drugs are the ones that have been mostly successful in the many histologic types of malignant brain tumors.
That was a mouthful.
Wow.
Yes, it's all Greek to me.
Okay.
Okay, can benign brain tumors be fatal to either adults or children?
That's a very good question, because the cranium, remember, is like a fixed vault made of hard bone. It does not expand. Maybe in early childhood there might be some expansion, but in after 4 or 5, it does not grow any bigger. So that, and it's made of a anterior fossa, which is a cavity, and a posterior fossa. So that if a benign tumor forms from the layers of the brain, which is called a meningioma, because there are three layers that cover the brain, the dura. The dura is the top one, and the bottom one is the pia part of the brain. All three can form cancers. And when the cancer forms in there, it creates a mass that compresses the brain, and the fluid circulation through the brain is called the ventricles. You have the lateral ventricle and the posterior ventricle, which is the largest ventricle, and then it goes down through the C1 vertebrae, and it goes down the whole length of the spinal cord to the L5 vertebrae, and then it stops. It stops at L5. And this fluid continually circulates, but at a very slow rate. And these ventricles can become compressed when the mass grows. Even though it's benign, it doesn't spread. It just grows, and then it reaches a point where it stops growing. So but while it's growing, it causes hydrocephalus, where the lakes that are there increase in size. They may double, triple, or quadruple in size. And then you have a big pool of water in the middle of the brain that compresses and destroys the normal brain. And it can go to such an extent, folks, where it causes death just from the expansion of the lakes that are in the ventricular system.
Wow. Well, can you go in and take some of that tissue out?
Yes, you can perform a shunt that takes the fluid, the cerebrospinal fluid, all the way down into the abdominal cavity and dumps it in there. And it's called a ventricular peritoneal shunt. And it's done all the time if they can't operate on the mass that's causing it, because sometimes meningiomas, they don't bother to operate. They're maybe too dangerous to operate.
Well, I would want to have an operation. Would you, Eddie?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to have a shunt. I mean, I wouldn't want to have fluid on the brain and go around not knowing what I'm doing. Yeah.
Some people
and
do
don't
that.
Say anything.
No.
Don't say I don't know anyway.
All right.
Okay, what are the current statistics regarding the incidence of brain cancers in adults in the United States in 2022?
Well,
you mean 2021. Because 22 is not over yet.
Yeah, more properly, it should be, the question should be 21, but thank you anyway. I get what you're asking.
You do? Well,
and
thank you.
Because tumor boards have been pretty well discontinued. A tumor board used to be present in almost every large hospital, where doctors from different specialties, including oncologists, radiologists, general internists, and cancer surgeons would meet, and any other doctor who was interested could go and attend, as well as nurses. In fact, Earlene, I think I saw you at one or two of those tumor boards.
You did?
Yeah.
You used to follow me around the hospital.
Well, why not? And certainly,
I said, who is this dirty old man?
There was what we called eye candy in certain parts of the hospital that we like to keep track of. So anyway, the point I was making here is that the numbers are very much underreported. So these numbers I state to you are probably 20 to 50% lower than they really are. In other words, they're higher by 20 to 50%. It's just the reverse of what I said. But here they go. The rate of all brain cancers, the in the brain itself, these are called intracranial, is estimated to be between 10 and 20 cases for every 100,000 adults. So in a city like Reno, almost 400,000, if you took the higher number, 20, you'd see about 80 cases of that in 1 year would happen in a town like Reno. That just gives you a general clue. And 50% of all brain cancers are metastatic. That means they come from a primary somewhere else in the body. And the most common sites of those primary tumors, histologically, are small cell cancer of the lung, malignant melanoma. I had a relative who died of malignant melanoma that went to her brain. Breast cancers of all types go there. Kidney cancers next. These are in frequency of reaching the brain. Upper GI cancers, that would be esophageal and stomach primarily. Sarcomas of all types can go to the brain. And then there is primary brain lymphomas. These occur not infrequently in AIDS patients. No one knows the reason for that. And they can be composed of B or T cells. And then pancreatic cancers. And don't forget the non-small cell cancers of the lung also get there. Now, what are the cancers that rarely go to the brain, but on rare occasions do? And these include colorectal cancers, prostate cancers, ovarian cancers, endometrial cancers, hepatocellular cancers, and squamous cell cancers of the skin rarely go to the brain, but still that has to be checked for, and the doctor has to be vigilant, because really any cancer can.
Should we go forward?
Well, let's.
Okay, great. How common is brain cancer in children?
All right. Well, I'm not a pediatric oncologist, but I do know the statistics. And 20% of all childhood cancers actually have an origin in the brain.
Well, didn't you say that's how many kids get it? 20%?
No, 20% of all childhood cancers, I said. That was a different statistic.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm confused.
But don't be confused.
No, that's okay.
And the other 80%.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's the total of that. Oh, got it.
Yeah. The other 80% are acute lymphocytic leukemias, the kidney tumor, Wilms tumor, the neuroblastomas that can start in the adrenal gland, and osteogenic sarcomas that start in the bones, and usually in the leg bones, around the knee is the most common site, and a number of very rare tumors like a chordoma in the spinal cord. We won't go into the very rare tumors, but there's a number of them. We'll leave that alone. But childhood cancers, they rarely have doctors that get out of line or jump the fence, and there is almost no doctor that I'm aware of in the whole United States that does alternative or integrative oncology on children. For some reason, and of course,
well, that would be pediatricians, a good way to lose your license.
Pediatricians and pediatric oncologists are very anal. They don't like to deviate from the one-size-fits-all Betty Crocker type medicine.
Wow.
They don't stray. And so it's going to be a long time. And I think that's a real, real mistake, because when you see kids that are getting full-dose chemo and have no hair, eyebrows, they have no axillary hair, they have no pubic hair, and they're bald and they have heart malfunction from the treatments, or they have neuropathies. And we know that if they took low-dose insulin potentiated therapy like I give, this would not happen at all. we could do it, but no one would venture across that because your license would be in jeopardy. So think about that, pediatricians. Open your minds up a little. Look at my statistics and see if you aren't interested in maybe straying out of the straight, narrow line and looking at the future of the child themselves and the cost to the family and to the healthcare system is only decreased by 90%. So think about that.
Well, that's a big step.
Wow.
To cross over, number one. And number two, if the child, you know, did not do well and didn't make it, you'd probably have a lawsuit. And number three, the Pediatric Oncology Board probably wouldn't allow it. You'd have to go integrative. But
you
even
know,
integrative medicine would have a hard time with that because your conventional board would be after you, too. You know?
Yes, yeah, and remember, doctors spend much of their time trying to CYA, and you all know what that means, cover your A. And that means the fear of a malpractice suit, because the lawyers love to go after doctors that they feel have done wrong. And, of course, very few lawyers ever get disbarred from doing anything wrong because they are almost untouchable. And the American Bar Association offers great protection to them.
Okay, well, maybe the medical board should take a little, you know, tip from that.
Sorry. Amen.
Sorry to get so personal here.
You got personal?
Oh, did I?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I thought you did really well.
Your sweater's still on.
I'm not sweating either.
Well, that's a good sign. Okay, do primary brain cancers spread outside of the central nervous system?
I've never seen a case in 50 years of practicing mostly cancer medicine. So I would have to say it just doesn't exist. And as a pathologist, I've never autopsied an individual or had a surgical specimen from a metastasis from a primary brain tumor. It just doesn't happen. So consider that a no. It doesn't happen.
Okay. What are the main differences between adult and childhood brain cancers?
Good question. It's very interesting. No one knows why this happens, but in children, brain cancers form mainly in the posterior back of the brain in the area of the cerebellum. And the cerebellum, of course, controls mainly our movements and our spatial orientation. It allows you to tell whether if you put your hand in your pocket, whether there's a quarter or a penny there, whatever. It fine touch. It allows you to type on your computer and your iPhone and your iPad. And it allows a pilot to fly upside down and still remain oriented and so on. So that's an area that controls vertigo and balance for the most part. But that's where most of the childhood cancers arise from. So very interesting. In adults, only 30% arise in the posterior fossa or cavity. The fossa is just like a shallow dish that you would eat cereal out of. It's a place where the main brain sits in the anterior fossa, and the posterior fossa is mainly the cerebellum and the medulla.
Okay, what is the most common benign brain tumor in the central nervous system?
Yeah, and that's an easy one. These are called meningiomas. They arise from the coverings of the brain called the arachnoid. The outside one is the dura, the middle one the arachnoid layer, and the inner layer is the pia, P-I-A. Very easy. And it can arise from the cells that comprise this these membranes. And a similar tumor called ependymomas are also listed. These occur mainly in the surrounding tissue of the nerves and brains and the brain tissue. And all along the spinal cord. So they're more common in the spinal cord than the brain themselves. And so they're the second most common benign tumor. And they also line the layer of the ventricles, the water-containing lakes in our brain, called the lateral ventricles and the posterior ventricle or medulla ventricle, are all filled with cerebrospinal fluid. And that fluid is cleaned at night by the little pineal gland in the center of the brain that secretes important hormones like melatonin and serotonin. And while you're sleeping, that melatonin is busy working, cleaning up the debris, the viruses, the bacteria, the toxic chemicals that may have gotten somehow into your cerebrospinal fluid.
Okay. What are brain cancers best treated with?
All right, now we're getting to the heart of things. The most malignant, most common tumor in men from 50 to 70 or 80, and women, men have a little higher rate than women, not much, called a GBM, which stands for glioblastoma multiforme. So the G is glio, blast is B, multiforme is M.
Are you going to remember this?
M.
Yeah. Jeez. This is getting too complicated.
I'm sorry. Well, you asked me for some information. Mm-hmm. Many people have never heard any of this before. And the second most malignant tumor is the anaplastic astrocytoma. Astrocytes are part of the connective tissue in the brain. They're not neurons. The neurons are not involved here. It's the connective surrounding tissue that houses the neurons and the cortex, in the white and gray matter. And the best treatment for all brain tumors, of course, is surgical excision, if the surgeon can get it without causing neurological injury. Now, if your cancer is in the frontal lobes, these can be taken off without too much injury, except emotional injury. Emotions are muted. And depression may occur. It was often frontal lobotomy. Frontal lobotomies were used at one time for cancers.
All right. This has been Health Matters, brought to you by Forsyth Cancer Care Center, 521 Hamel Lane. Write the phone number down and by God, use it. It's area code 775-827-0707. Again, 775-827-0707.